shock and often confusion, just some of the emotions that families go through when a loved one dies violently and unexpectedly. The charity Advocates for Victims of Homicide, known as ADVIC, has said there is a consistent rise every year in the number of people seeking support, with 138 people contacting them last year. Many of the bereaved families are calling for more state support to be provided to services like counselling to help them in the aftermath of such a tragedy, as Karen Creed now reports.
Everybody needed something different, but for me, as the mom I was trying to deal with my own heartbreak, I was also trying to hold everything together for Ali and Sean, who were obviously going through, they just lost their brother. My mom and dad had lost their grandson. All of the family, like, I can't articulate enough the heartbreak that was going on.
Janet O'Brien describes the trauma after her 20-year-old son Luke died after being attacked almost 7 years ago on a night out. At the time, she didn't realise how much support she would rely on outside of her family after being given information from a Garda liaison officer.
I remember them leaving a booklet. I remember seeing homicide, and I remember being quite taken aback looking at the booklet on my kitchen table. It was very surreal. But the booklet had been put together by other bereaved parents, and it actually, as much as I didn't want to look at it, it turned out to be quite invaluable.
ADVIC is a charity that was set up 19 years ago by bereaved families who wanted to help others in a similar situation. It says there is a consistent rise in demand for their services, from counselling to legal advice, including navigating the justice system. It also importantly connects people with others who have gone through a similar loss.
I found it helpful to speak to somebody who really knew what I was going through, who you could have an open, raw conversation with.
There's certainly demand, and it's good that people are reaching out to talk, because we do see that if people don't reach out for help in circumstances like this, that we do see people then reporting into their GPs or the HSE with anxiety, depression, PTSD, maybe addiction issues as well. So it can be really helpful to come and have a chat to a counsellor or a psychotherapist after something like this has happened.
Niamh Crowley, a counsellor at ADVIC, says there's no rule book for how someone is going to feel, but that for all of the families, normal life is gone in an instant.
Homicide is overwhelmingly shocking. Nothing is ever the same. Counselling, when people come to see us, it's not that there's going to be a happy ending or resolve an issue. It's not. It's really for support, because there is no happy ending. Some people come maybe a few weeks after because they're extremely traumatized and frightened and lonely, because usually nobody around them has been through this experience. And then there are people then who don't want to talk to anybody, and they might come months later or indeed years later.
In 1991, when Karen Bishop's 18-year-old sister Jill was murdered as she walked home from a disco in Bray, there was very little support available. Her father Ciarán helped to change this, and over the decades her family have given their time to many families.
We've gone through the courts, we've gone through the parole board, so we're kind of more able to offer them advice and guidance, if at all possible, like, you know, to make it a bit easier for them to deal with their tragedy.
While counselling services have been extended to children through ADVIC, she wants to see more awareness around who can avail of it.
Well, that is so important, that it's to everybody. It's not just to the mother and father, like, it's to brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles and friends, because everybody suffers, you know, because it could be friends that were with the person the night that they were killed. So, like, they're going to be affected as well. So it needs to be widened, the support.
For many of these families, like Karen's, reliving the trauma is a constant challenge.
Especially if it's a young girl and, like, you know, kind of the same age and things like that. And you're kind of going, God, that poor family, because you always kind of think this is never going to happen to us. I'm sure back in 91, we were watching the news, not that there was many murders there, but you were kind of going, God, that poor family. But then when it hits you, then it's always going to be there. No matter what day, there's always going to be something on the news that's going to trigger it off again.
There are other difficulties too, such as the impact of media coverage and navigating the courts, as Niamh Crowley explains.
It's hard enough dealing with the death of a loved one, but then knowing nothing about the criminal justice system and media. And I suppose these days with social media as well, it can be really upsetting because often things are misreported, which is really upsetting.
Counselling remains a core part of the support provided to families, and many say that more state funding would allow for that to be extended.
When you think of it, like when the perpetrator goes into prison, they have everything at their beck and call. They have counsellors, psychiatrists and everything. But yet the victims, there's nothing there for the victims. It's all for the perpetrator. So that has to change. Like more funding has to be given to the victims because we've done nothing wrong. We have to put up a fight. We have to beg sometimes for help, which is so wrong.
And that was Karen Creed ending that report. The last voice that you heard there was Karen Bishop.